नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमाते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनी की नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौर बाल प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष आसुनी बालि पाश्चित्यादि चित्यादि नमो महावर अन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत गदाधर शिवाचार्य गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। सो दिस आफ्टरनून The lecture would be How to Succeed in Devotee Life by Sense Control, talking about sense control today. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the Parampara, and my Guru Maharaj, to be used that way. Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, text 6 is what we're going to be reading from. Chapter 2, text 6. Please repeat after me. Na cheta vidma kataran no kariyo ya va jaima yadi va no jayu yan Eva, Atva, Na, Didi, Vishamas, Te, Vastita, Ramuke, Tatarashtra. We will do the word for word now. Please repeat. Na, Nor, Cha, also. Etat, this, Vidma, do we know? Katarat, which? Na, for us. Gariya, better. Yatva, weather. Jaima, we may conquer. Jadi, if. Va, or. Na, us, Jayenu, they conquer. Yan, those who, Eva, certainly, Atva, by killing. Na, never, Didi Vishama, we would want to live. Te, all of them. Avastita, are situated. Ramukhe, in the front. Dhritarashtra, the sons of Dhritarashtra. Translation by its mind is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we killed the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet, they are now standing before us in the battlefield. Please repeat. Nor do we know,
which is better,
conquering them,
or being conquered by them.
If we killed the sons of Dhritarashtra,
we should not care to live.
Yet they are now standing
before us
on the battlefield. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Arjuna did not know whether he should fight and risk unnecessary violence, although fighting is the duty of the Kshatriyas, or whether he should refrain and live by begging. If he did not conquer the enemy, begging would be his only means of subsistence. Nor was there certainty of victory because either side might emerge victorious. Even if victory awaited them and their cause was justified, still, if the sons of the trash tribe died in battle, it would be very difficult to live in their absence. Under the circumstances, that would be another kind of defeat for them. All these considerations by Arjun definitely proved that not only was he a great devotee of the Lord, but he was also highly enlightened and had complete control over his mind and senses. His desire to live by begging, although he was born in a royal household, is another sign of detachment. He was truly virtuous, as these qualities combined with his faith in the words of instruction of Sri Krishna, the spiritual master, indicate. It is concluded that Arjuna was quite fit for liberation. Unless the senses are controlled, there is no chance of elevation to the platform of knowledge, and without knowledge and devotion, there is no chance of liberation. Arjuna was competent in all these attributes, over and above his enormous attributes in his material relationship. Om Akinati Vidanjasya Kana Kana Shalakaya Chakshu Omilitam Dina Tasmai Shri Guru Venama Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yenam Tule Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Vidanti Swabha Vatikam Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Hima Vidi Vachavishundaraya Tasmima Prem Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So I knew you were alive now in a week. So this text, chapter 2, verse 6. Chapter 2 is entitled The Contents of the Gita Summarized. This is about Arjuna speaking to Krishna. His analysis of the situation. And he's seen his cousins, his trainers, his elders, those that had raised him, taught him, in the battlefield on the opposite side, and he was supposed to fight them. So he didn't think it was a good idea. So there is some indication from Arjuna about not fighting and instead of doing that, being a kshatriya, being an administrator, going to live by begging, like brahmanas usually do. The brahmanas don't, that time they don't work for money. Kings give them all kinds of gifts and sometimes they go different places and people don't need things to them. So, the translation directly says, we don't know which is better. Conquering them, that is Duryodhana and Bhishma and the rest of them, the other side, or being conquered by them. And so he starts analyzing. If we kill the sons of Dhritarashtra, our cousins, we should not care to live because we have killed family members. But they are the ones in front of us. So when the war starts, we're going to have to fight them and possibly kill, if not all of them, some of them. So Arjuna is in a precarious situation, a difficult situation. His duty is a kshatriya, it's a soldier, so his work is fighting that he has to do. That's war, that's what soldiers do, that's their job. But he's also looking at who he's fighting against. And they are family members and trainers and those who brought him up. So Srila Prabhupada analyzes that if he did not conquer the enemy, then begging will be his only means of living. Now, the armies were formidable. Very well trained people on both sides, soldiers on both sides, The armies were huge. In fact, Duryodhana's army outnumbered the Pandavas 11-7. So they had a big army. And Krishna is saying, Krishna instructed him later on, but just stay with Arjuna's argument. Even if they became victorious, then the sons of Dhritarashtra would be killed, and it would be very difficult to live in their absence. Now that statement clearly is one where the family ties are very much on Arjuna's mind. He did not want to kill like that. Do you say I've won the war, but basically all my relatives have been killed by me. So, and people, what they want, like to do at that time is, when they win a war, they want to show all of the, you know, wealth and others from the other side that comes to them. They want to share with their family members. But in this case, the family members, if they won, family members won, family members will not be in a situation to enjoy with the Pandavas. And Srila Prabhupada concludes that all of these considerations prove that Arjuna was not only a great devotee of God, but he was also highly enlightened and had control, complete control over his mind and senses. So he wasn't going in just wanting to kill to win, but he was looking at the situation very closely and saying, should I fight under this situation? In this. It's only a person that has control over his mind and a person that has control over his senses that will think twice in a situation like that. On the one hand, I'm a soldier, there is war getting ready to start, so I should fight. But on the other hand, I'm looking at who I'm supposed to fight against and the implications that will come from fighting. Shri Shri Nitai Gora Chandra Ki Jai Subhadamarani Ki Jai. So, Arjuna was a prince. The Pandavas were princes. The crown prince was Maharaj Yudhishthira. And still, they could have taken the decision to live by begging. Actually, they had done it once in the Kichakra, when they got burned at the wax house and they just escaped with their mother Kunti. We went to Kichakra and they were begging at that time. Drift up from the Brahmanas, they were begging. That's not to say that there's nothing new, but still, they had done it before. And see, Arjuna's mind and senses were such that, so if it comes to that, it's alright. It's not like I'm supposed to get this kingdom and I've lost the kingdom and therefore, no. If we don't fight and we have to beg, it's alright. So he wasn't passionate after gaining things material. Something we have to work on, right? So he was virtuous. And so he was listening to the instructions by Krishna, and because he was in control of his senses, Srila Prabhupada says, the conclusion is that Arjuna was quite fit for liberation. And then Srila Prabhupada backs it up by saying that unless the senses are controlled, there is no chance of elevation to the platform of knowledge. The senses are compared to horses, and they can just go, you know, you're supposed to just control them, go a certain direction, and if one of them goes haywire, then it pause everything else. As Maharaj Dahugan found out, when Jat Bharat would not go along with everybody carrying the palanquin. One person, all it takes is one of the horses to do something different, and the entire coordination is thrown off. So if any one of our senses go off, then we got trouble. That's why in the Pashadam prayer, one of the senses is mentioned, the tongue. It's voracious, and is uncontrollable. The tongue does two things. Help to eat by tasting and also talking. Either one of them can go off. As far as tasting things or eating, we have been directed to eat Krishna prasada. We should think of Krishna first. Offer what we cook to Krishna first, then eat. And as far as talking, we should talk Krishna katha and things that are important for us. But things like gossip and so on, stay away from that. Things that are counterproductive. So, in Bhagavad Gita, the same chapter, but further down, chapter 2, text 60, Arjuna is actually telling Krishna, the senses that we're supposed to try to control, they are so strong and impetuous. They are strong and also impetuous. So what's impetuous? Impetuous. So, that did not mean compared to the senses yet. That's an impetuous person. What is an impetuous person most likely to do? If you describe someone as impetuous, you mean that they are likely to act quickly and suddenly without thinking or being careful about what they're doing. So, their senses are like that. They're very strong and they can grab hold of stuff, make us do things without even thinking twice about it. And the mind is connected to the senses. So when one sense is connected to something that they want. I want this, I want that. Then the mind is told, arrange for that to happen. So the mind is accepting, rejecting, that's all. And the intelligence is the one that says, but if you do this, what are the implications? Especially when the implications or what could happen is bad, then the intelligence would warn. And everything happens very fast. The mind thinks very fast, intelligence thinks very fast, but he would definitely have a statement that comes through that says, but be careful. So, when somebody that likes to rob banks is targeted a particular bank and they're going to go in, you don't have to be that kind of person. But it is absolutely 100% sure that there will be that moment when that person's mind will tell them, but you can get arrested. But there can be complications when you go into the bank. Now, if they override that and go in, then whatever happens, happens. That person is not in control of his senses. So we have to be living life where we have sense control. But we'll spend some time giving some suggestions how to control the senses. But Arjuna is saying that it's very, very, very They carry away the mind by force. Even a person who can discriminate and is trying to control the mind, sometimes this happens. The mind is able to carry the person up to a situation to use the senses that they know that in spiritual life they're not supposed to do. So Srila Prabhupada helped us control senses by putting some rules in place. We call them the four regulated principles. No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating. The senses want to indulge in all four of them. The senses would like to. In fact, that is what non-devotees are doing. And they think they're enjoying themselves that way. Those who gamble look for the day that they will make it big. A whole lot of money comes at once. All the financial problems solved. Maybe. But a whole lot of money comes at once. People who drink, They can forget their problems for a while at the time that they're drunk. And then, of course, some of them have a taste for whatever they drink, so they like to go after it. Again, the senses being used that way. So, it is not easy to control the senses. There are sages, there are philosophers who have tried to conquer their senses, but they tried to, and in spite of the endeavors, even some of the greatest ones, they fell victim to material sense enjoyment due to the agitated mind. Vishwamitra is one great sage. He went through so much austerity trying to gain some subtle powers. And what happened is that from the heavenly planets, a society girl called Menaka was sent to him where he was at doing his austerities and his meditation. And she started dancing and she had ankle belts and she had things that was, there was a great voice. She was, you know, physically very beautiful. And the sound that he was making woke up or changed Vishwamitra's mind, got him out of that meditation. And when he saw Menaka, he could not control his senses. So then he wanted to relate to Menaka, which means, and at that time, you would just do illicit activity. You basically would have to have a small situation where after that ceremony, Menaka became a wife. So Vishwamitra broke this meditation just to be with Menaka. Vishwamitra could not control his senses. And so all of the benefits that would have come from the meditations that he did and the austerities, he lost them. He lost them. So, how do we control the senses? We control the senses, this is Srila Prabhupada, you have to control the senses by engaging them in the service of the Lord. You can't stop the senses from acting, but you can direct the senses to do things that are beneficial for our souls. So we have to engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. If we don't, then there's material engagement that's there, and that's where the mind is going to go. In Srimad Bhagavatam, and also in Bhagavad Gita, two places, Srila Prabhupada in the purport talks about this in the actual translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Maharaj Ambarish, a devotee of the Lord, he was very much in control of his senses. How did he do it? Well, he made sure that all his senses were fixed on something involving serving Krishna and serving the devotees. So, we're going to go through that, what he did. First, his mind. He fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. This is what Rupa Goswami also tells us to do. Always think of Krishna. Never forget Krishna. So while we do whatever we're doing, activities during the day, we have to think of Krishna, either directly or through our subconscious. Subconscious means that you're playing some music, you're doing something else, but then you have some background, something going on that reminds you of Krishna. Music, lecture, something that reminds us of Krishna while we do our activities. Maharaj Ambarish engaged his words in describing Krishna, Krishna Katha. He talked about activities involving Krishna. Mahatita Mahagata Prana Bodhayanta Parasparam Katayanta Chamamityam Tishanticha Ramanticha. The mind of the pure devotees, they dwell in Krishna, they think about Krishna. In the very life air, it's all connected with Krishna. They talk about Krishna, they have discussions about him, they have lectures about him. And that's how we become very pleased internally about Krishna. Maharaj Amrish used his hands in cleansing the temple of the Lord. His ears were used in hearing the pastimes of the Lord. We talked about that already. While you do your work, you can have a lecture going on. His eyes in seeing the form of the Lord. We have nice, beautiful Ntaikore Chandra here. And not only that, now through electronics, you can see all the bodies, the deities all around the world. Some people just post them, you can see them. So you're always in touch with the Lord, like that. So he used his eyes in seeing the form of a God. He used his body in touching the body of the devotee. He used his nostrils in smelling the fragrance of the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Lord. That can happen here, doing arti, and these flowers taken around. Or you can do it in your own arti at home also. Have some flowers offered to the Lord. And that flower pishad, you can smell like that. He used his tongue in tasting the tulsi leaf and also pishad. His legs, he used them in traveling to the holy place where the temple is situated. His head bowed down in offering obeisances to the Lord. And the major thing, his desires. He didn't have desires for himself. His desire was to fulfill what the Lord wanted. To fulfill the desires of the Lord. When you fulfill the desire of Guru, you have also fulfilled the desires of Krishna. Because Guru is representative of Krishna. So one of the simple ways when you relate to Guru and Guru gives you some service to do, you're blessed. We really are blessed. So much so that sometimes when you say, ask them for that. What can I do? We were trained in Giranagri, right, for myself. And it got to a point, I began to realize that every time I served my spiritual master, I came out of the service very, very happy. I didn't know why, I was just very happy. To the point that it got to a point where when it finishes, I said, Maharaj, what next? I actually would ask him, what should I do next? Until he gets to a point and says, there's nothing to do. Okay, then I'll go. But somehow, I was happy. I'm not a special person, it's just that it happens to everybody. If you really put your mind to serving, the happiness comes. So, Guru is very much a personality that Krishna has put in place. He set that up. The whole idea of having Guru, he set it up. It's in Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi Paripatena, Paripashnina Sevaya. Approach Guru and inquire from Guru and serve Guru. It's there. Serve Guru. Krishna becomes happy when we do that. Even more so than serving Him. And if you serve the body the way you serve Guru, you really are going to grow spiritually. If you serve the devotees with the same mood and mindset which you serve Guru and serve the devotee and serve the deity, you are on your way back to Godhead without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I can even quote from Christianity, scripture. Jesus saying, as long as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. As long as you've done to the least of these, help the least of these. So in the line of devotees, there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's this representative Guru, and there's us. So we are the least of these. Guru and then Krishna. So if you serve devotees, Krishna is pleased, Guru is pleased. So we should use our senses to the extent that we can. Now, and more, to the extent and a little bit more, think of more ways to do that. So, the senses are controlled, Sri Baladeva Devotion, it says that the senses are controlled only when we do devotional service to Krishna. So you just direct them that way. Krishna's devotees, spiritual master, and the deity. That is the way to control the senses. Now, in Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, text 64, Radha Purisha Vimuktaishtu Vishayan Indrayas Charan Atma Vashe Vidayatma Vashadam Adigashchati. A person free from all attachment and aversion. Aversion is dislike or hatred. And able to control his senses through the regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. So, what's being told to us, Krishna is saying that if we get free from attachment to material things and aversion, which is hatred, and we're able to control the senses through the regulative principles, then we can obtain the complete mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So a Krishna conscious person, Srila Prabhupada said, is concerned with the satisfaction of Krishna and nothing else. So when we do service, we really should have this question ringing in our mind. Am I satisfying Krishna? Am I satisfying? And Krishna, that's the broad Krishna, means Krishna, Guru, and the devotees. All of that. At once. Am I satisfying? Now, we're also told that when we're serving, and this is really critical that we understand, yes, we will do service, but sometimes Maya fights our mind and says, well, this service I don't want to do. And sometimes that happens. We don't want to do some service. Now, Krishna is in the heart as Paramatma, notices everything we do. And therefore, the things that we do, they are noted, but the things that we could do and don't want to do, they know that even more than the things that we do. Because, here's the reason, if we want to love Krishna, but we don't want to serve Krishna, how are we going to be able to love Krishna? So every time there's an opportunity to come and you pass that out, or just not wanting to do it, and then you don't have good reason, but you don't want to do it, that means you don't want to satisfy Krishna's senses. That's the way it's seen. That is the way it's seen. So you should be the opposite of that. Look for opportunities to serve Krishna and jump right to it and get it done. Like that. Your own material things, yeah, you can give excuses, hold some of them off if you have to. But when it comes to Krishna consciousness, don't hold off anything. Go after it. So as you're hearing this, you should also be asking, and I should also be asking the same question, what's my attitude towards service? How much service do I do? Well, we have some suggestions. Everybody here has some propensities, some things that you're good at doing. Tell the management what you can do, so that the management, those who are in management, would take that into consideration, and when some service comes, they'll remember you and ask you to do it. We're talking about the things that you are good at doing now. Even the things that you do on your jobs. Some of it is also relevant to services here. So if the management only knows a few people who are good at certain things, then those people are cheating the rest of us. Why? Because they get all the services. And everybody else doesn't get anything. But we have to be able to engage our senses. Control, sense control means serving. But we don't serve. So how are we going to be able to control the senses? It's not possible. So, tell the management what you can do, what your background is. And The service comes up. And see, the thing is, when you tell your background, then even when the service comes to do, you're going to do it well because you're used to it. It's not something new to you. It's not something new to me. So then you just get in and do the best that you can. And get the credits for it. So, a person who is able to control the senses, this is what happens. You feel a certain degree of peace and also happiness. Your happiness is from the fact that I have served Krishna's devotees. I know that means that Krishna is happy with me. And Krishna is the final decision maker as to whether I leave this world to go to the spiritual world or not. So when you're in Krishna's good side, because he's happy with you, you have a chance of going home, back to Godhead. So, sense control literally is not achieved overnight. Okay, let me not try to get you to think, you know, you have to break off sense gratification, sense enjoyment in different ways, little by little. You have to work at it. Achieving sense control, that means getting away from those things that are material sense gratification we're supposed to detach from it. It's not so easy. You have to work at it like a child is learning to walk. We've all seen it before. They take a few steps, boom, fall down. But they get up and they start walking again, they fall down. And after a while, they're able to walk without falling down. So it's like that. You practice, practice, and then you become successful. Especially when it comes to the regulative principles. So Krishna actually really wants us back home in the spiritual world. So anybody who tries to control the senses, he will actually help. He will help anybody trying to control his or her senses to be ultimately successful. So we should put our case before Srila Prabhupada. If you're not initiated, put it in front of your spiritual master. If you're initiated, your spiritual master is not around, go to his picture and offer obeisances and put the case, asking him to help us to be better devotees by controlling the senses. There is no liberation without sense control. That shouldn't scare us. Oh, I'll never be liberated. I'll never go back. I can't control my senses. No. It means I have work to do to control my senses. That's all. You haven't finished. Don't give up. There's no point giving up at all. So we put our case in prayer before Guru to ask him to help us to be better devotees by controlling the senses. But you also heard that from Maharaj Ambarish, he was directing the senses towards activities in Krishna consciousness, and that's how they're able to control it. So this prayer also, because it takes time to be really, really, really to get to the point of doing it without even thinking. So through the prayers, Krishna will give us reasons, especially the ones that the sense gratification, few sense gratification things that we find very difficult to get rid of. In other words, we are addicted to it. We want to stop, but we can't stop. And if you're addicted to something, this mind is not going to be able to get you away from it. If I'm addicted to something, it won't work. The only way is to pray for help to get to that. Prayer is one of the 9 processes of serving. It is very, very important. And it's a very good prayer to learn. I mean, to use your own words. Some people say, but how do you pray? What do you say? Say exactly what's on your mind. It doesn't have to be learned things. No, the standard prayers are there. But this is help that you need. So you just ask, please help me with this problem that I have that I'm not able to control. Like that. So, one who does not want to or does not feel like serving devotionally. One who doesn't want to serve. They don't want to. They don't feel like it. Either they hate themselves or they're very ignorant. Sorry to use strong words. Because you're asking to stay in jail forever then. That's what it amounts to. We are like, especially in this country, because so much is provided materially. But we are in a situation where Kali Yuga is going on too, and Kali Yuga, we've already been told, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. So picture ourselves moving towards the edge of a cliff, and we can fall, but we are moving backwards towards the edge of the cliff. And the spiritual master is in front of us and says, don't go that way. You're going to fall. So those who serve Krishna and his devotees devotionally, they will be picked up before reaching the edge of the cliff. They'll be picked up. And those who don't, they'll get to a point where it's quite obvious that we are in a big problem. We are going on materially, true enough, but as much as I hate to have to bring it up, the world has put himself in a situation that's very precarious. Everybody that's an advanced country, the advanced countries have nuclear bombs, and everyone is afraid that it may go off. Srila Prabhupada was asked, would there be nuclear war? You're not going to like the answer. Srila Prabhupada said, yes. The fact of the matter is, every weapon that is manufactured is used at some point. So, yes, and then the devotee pressed on. Does that mean the whole world is going to go? Srila Prabhupada said, that remains to be seen. Maybe some of it, maybe all of it. Some of it, or all of it. That means the surface of the earth is going to be difficult to live on. It does not mean the whole earth is going to go. And by the way, we put ourselves in this situation. The demigods can fix it in no time. Not a problem at all. After a nuclear situation, they can repair it. They built it anyway. Well, Brahma. And he's got a Brahmastra that's even more, Brahmastra the weapon. That nuclear weapon is far more devastating than what we have here. So we put ourselves in that situation. And in the meantime, there are some of us that don't want to serve, so that we'll be picked up by Krishna and taken out of the situation. So yeah, we do that, we are cheating our own selves. That risk is there. We've had to talk about very much. People say, oh no, well, everybody's afraid, so there won't be any nuclear war. Yeah, but we're thinking like an ostrich then. Because an ostrich will bury his head in the sand and say, nothing is going to happen, nothing is going to happen. The fact is, it may happen, it may not happen someday. So prepare yourself. And we are very fortunate, because when we perform devotional service, then even if this body is ended, the soul is going back home, back to Krishna. So if we don't prepare to go to Krishna, then we are in trouble. That's why we have to control our senses by engaging them in the service of the Lord. And in that way, whatever is happening, we know we are headed home, out of this cosmic jail that we are in. Srila Prabhupada ki. Are there any questions? Yes, it's in the time for it's on the key.
Prabhu, you had quoted one Bhagavad Gita verse. I don't exactly remember the verse number, but it has mentioned about attachment and aversion.
64.
Attachment and aversion. So, the verse kind of goes like we should be free from both attachment and aversion. So attachment is pretty self-explanatory. Like, free from aversion, so what is, like, how do we understand that?
Can you please help your children, your quiet parents, please? Yeah, the question is.
Yeah, my question was, attachment, you know, it's pretty easy to understand.
Material attachment, we have to stay away from that. Okay, yeah.
But the other half, the aversion, like freedom from aversion. So what is Krishna indicating from that?
There's a number of ways to look at it. Aversion is one of the dictionary meanings of it, is hatred. It's hatred. In general, we should be very, very kind to all living entities. We should not take advantage of different situations and act negatively towards them. We should be careful, and the other point is to understand, especially among devotees, that being conditioned, being a conditioned soul, means that there are some negative aspects of us that we have to be working on to improve. It's called purification. And so when those things happen, we should have that in mind. When devotees may do something that's negative, we have to see it rather than hate the person for what is done, what's been done. The action itself is not good, but the person is a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like we are also part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the intelligence has to kick in and say, all right, I can avoid this person for what they have done, but I shouldn't hate the person. We shouldn't hate the person. If you don't have hatred in your heart, you're pretty peaceful. If you have a lot of hatred, it's going to bother you. If we have hatred, it's going to bother us in so many ways because we have to think negatively. And there are some people who will tell you that even thinking repeatedly, negatively, especially as you get older, and you find out that's to be true, it can make our bodies sick, literally, thinking negatively. So we should really get away from thinking negatively, and that is, you know, and hating different people. But the situation may be bad. We are in the material world, and there are people who have lower nature. We also have lower nature. But we have to be careful about distinguishing between the person's spiritual self, which is the real self, and then what they have done. And so you stay away from hating for that reason. Hare Krishna. There are other points about it too, but.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
A question that I have is when you're speaking on sense control and controlling senses, either way, however you say it, how can we, I'm trying to see how to phrase my question, how can we assess if we are actually engaging our senses? Like what is the, is there a way to evaluate it or assess it? Okay, how do I know that my mind is being engaged, that my mind is being controlled? Or how do I know if my senses are being controlled?
When we are serving the devotees, serving Guru, serving the deities, and we are very excited to do such service, that means our mind is in the right place. When we are also getting less and less interested in the material sense gratification, when we're getting less interested in that, and more interested in service, that's an indication that we are moving in the right direction towards Krishna consciousness and sense control also. Because when it comes to sense enjoyment, we use our senses for it. When it comes to serving, we use our senses for it. So if we use more of our senses in Krishna consciousness, and it gets to the point where it grows on us, so we're used to it, used to doing that, and then over time, we find that other things that we used to say we enjoy doing now, we're not so, you know, material things, we're not so crazy about it anymore. Or we know it's there, but we can let it go and not be a part of it, and it won't bother us so much. Then we're slowly withdrawing from sense enjoyment. And our Krishna consciousness will actually be stronger and we'll be happier for doing that. So yeah, when we get less interested in sense enjoyment, then we know, material sense enjoyment, then we know that we are growing. But as we said earlier, have at the back of mind, my service is to satisfy the senses of Krishna and Krishna's devotees and Guru. That's what I want to do. Make sure that they are happy with my service that I give them. That should always be ringing in the back of our minds. How can we serve? We take advantage of every situation that comes up. Like that. And believe me, it will make us happier. We may be sometimes physically tired, but mentally we'll be very happy because we know how we got tired from serving. From serving, but doing the right thing. And in the end, you'll see so many things would happen. Srila Prabhupada is very, very merciful. We can't, that's a whole lecture by itself. It's very encouraging. Read the Srila Prabhupada's Leelamrita. See how he related to his devotees. You catch a lot of points, practical points about service. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the question. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
You were saying just now that we have to understand that we are letting go of our material desires, or, you know, or we are not getting more involved in material sense gratification. Many times what happens is, we start saying that this is also spiritual, that is also spiritual. And we keep on going in the direction where it is material sense gratification. So, what is the, the thin line between sense gratification and the spiritual thing of that?
The good thing about Krishna consciousness is there is training which involves do's and don'ts. The specific training, so it's not like we're left to just try to figure out. We're told to get up certain times of the day, we are told to attend a prescribed number of rounds, we know what the rounds themselves are, we can learn some more mantras that we don't know of yet, or prayers that we say the whole, community or the congregation says, all of those we can learn. We can hear more. We can learn how to sing more bhajans or kirtans. We can learn how to play the instruments that go with those. So those are all on the line of service. Now, if we say, oh, this is service and that service, but it is actually sense gratification, our intelligence will prompt us that we're lying to ourselves. The intelligence is prompted by the Lord in the heart, the Paramatma, and He doesn't make any mistakes. So, if we try to just deceive ourselves into thinking, oh, this is, unless I didn't understand your question, this is spiritual when in fact it is not, then that's deception, self-deception.
Suppose we can say with respect to earning money, suppose, just example, that, people will start earning money and they think I need to care for my family. They're earning money. And they just flow into that and they are completely lost in the pace of earning money only. So what is the thin line between earning money and caring for your family?
We have to earn money to take care of ourselves. We are still in this physical body and we're in the material world. If we do that alone, without any other services that's spiritual, there's a second point to this, spiritual, then we have become a hardcore materialist. That's one. Second, if you earn money, we want to serve Krishna and Krishna's senses. The temple also operates by paying bills. So you should take some of the money that you earn and give it to the temple for paying bills. When we come and prasadam is served, this is not to make anybody feel bad about it. Eat as much prasadam to your satisfaction. I know what I'm going to say, that's why I'm saying this now. I don't put a penny into the temple, but then when I come downstairs, it's all served and I can eat as much as I can. Well, somebody else had to buy it and somebody paid for it. Actually, all of us can contribute. There is no limit. There is no minimum that you can put in. So anybody can contribute whatever they want. You can contribute incognito. Go to the hundi and put it in. And the temple president will never know you contributed. But the Lord in the heart knows though. He always doesn't miss anything. Alright, so you definitely can take some of it. I remember, say this one point. His Holiness Deva meets Swami. So he came to Washington DC. And to visit Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj asked him to give a class in the morning. And he came to question time and I asked the question. And he found out that I was teaching at George Washington University. Somehow he found out at that time, I was teaching part-time there. And he said, all right, so you go to work, you may not have time to do service here in this place. But then he looked at me and said, but your money, that you have put it, but you, he kept stressing, pointing at me, your money, I'll do anybody, you know, but see, he was making a point though, but your money, because the professors earn a lot of money. So, but your money. He stressed it about 3 times. Put it in the service. Put it in the service of Krishna, the temple. Like that. So anyway, that was what I had. He stressed it quite a bit. I was just kind of laughing. Because I knew I was contributing at that time, but the way he really stressed it, your money, your money. All right, Bharat. Hare Krishna. Any last questions? You want to ask a question?
Yeah.
Sure. Where's the mic? Oh, okay.
Well, it's a follow-up of my first question.
Follow-up of the first question, okay.
Yeah. You know, we had talked about aversion, meaning hatred, towards people. And I just wanted to ask, like, sometimes we see people, both, like, devotees or non-devotees, that they had, like, some fight or they had some bad experience, and maybe it's years now, like 3 years, 5 years, 8 years, and still they're holding on to it, you know. And
no resolution.
Yeah, the hatred is still there. So, how do we like, and I'm asking even from my point, sometimes when I hold on, so how do we, from, what is the spiritual solution?
When we have disagreement, party A and party B have disagreement, how we handle it is very, very important. How we handle the disagreement is very important. A really humble devotee, and you know, Lord Chaitanya says we have to be humble, a blade of grass, taller like a tree. They look at the other person's situation, or the other person's not situation, the other person's argument, point of view. Now, that's not what they ask. We're talking about when it's been going on a while, but we'll just start from the beginning. When it starts. Be always ready to look at the other person's point of view. And believe me, just from looking at the other person's point of view, you can in fact help the misunderstanding to come to a friendly end in the end. Where you still are friends. But that's not what you asked. You asked when situation between two parties are tense, very bad, and it's been going on a long time and it's not resolved. What do you do? You first can say the simplest thing when you see them. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any devotee that is serious about devotion, when you say Hare Krishna, they're going to respond to you, Hare Krishna. That breaks the ice. That's the first thing. Say Hare Krishna. Now, you can also go on and say, how are you? They're going to respond. So these are all boilerplate questions with boilerplate answers. Hare Krishna, how are you? I'm doing okay. Alright. That's it. That's it. The person you haven't spoken for in years, you say Hare Krishna to them and you ask them, how are you doing? That is a good start. And a very, very important start. Next time when it comes to doing anything for them, and you can do some things for them, like during prasadam time, go serve them some prasadam. They will go in line and get their own prasadam. But maybe there is some dessert, and you just take it and then go and say, Babu, I just wanted to, you know, give you this. It will play on the mind of the person that, oh, this person wants to kind of settle whatever it is and be good friends again, or at least be good acquaintances. So give those indications. And it takes a person who is humble to actually start that. But that's how we practice humility anyway. So you say Hare Krishna first, they respond to you, Hare Krishna. Say it in such a way that, you know, and what about they said Hare Krishna? No, you said Hare Krishna and they did not respond. Is that your fault? No. Krishna sees everything. It's not your fault. You can say Hare Krishna next time. Again. Like that. But if they respond, you should ask them how they're doing. They're more than likely going to respond that I'm doing okay. It won't give you details of what's going on with them. Many people don't do that. But that's what starts, you know, removing the tension that's been building or that's been there all of the years. You can move that way. And the last point we make, to serve devotees. If you serve devotees, you can really patch up a lot of things that has not been going well. But that's how you do it. And that's from Nectar of Instruction. Serve them, prasadam, give gifts, and so on. But prasadam is the easiest, smallest thing you give. That's nice. Like that. And you can break it. It's important to do that, though. If we have some tension somewhere else with other devotees, please try to do that. Never know how much help you'll get later on from that person. Srila Prabhupada ki Yatra Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki Gaura Prabhanandi Hari Hari.